Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Good to be with you this morning. Joining me in studio this morning, Ted Kober. He's the president of Ambassadors of Reconciliation. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you in studio this morning and spend some time talking. How are things going for you this morning?
Things are going great because I live under the grace of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us about Ambassadors of Reconciliation.
Ambassadors of Reconciliation was an outgrowth of Peacemaker Ministries. Mm-hmm. Peacemaker Ministries was founded to help all Christians around the earth respond to conflict in biblical ways. And we founded Ambassadors of Reconciliation to serve Lutherans around the world. And this year marks our 10th year in serving people.
Now, Lutherans dealing with conflict, we never have conflict, so why would we need such an organization?
since Genesis 3, God's people have been fighting against one another and with those outside of the church as well. And the scriptures is full of not only instruction, but the assurance of what God did to reconcile us in our conflict with Him. And so the first and most important part of the ministry of reconciliation is knowing that while we were still sinners, we were reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But then He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is to share this good news with one another and with those outside the faith.
So how is our relationship to one another similar and different from our relationship with God and the reconciliation that we have with God?
Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And so how we treat one another is a reflection of our faith. If we treat each other poorly, it gives a witness to the outside world and to people within the faith that we really don't believe in the forgiveness of sins that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. But if we treat each other as Christ has instructed us, that reflects that. Now, obviously, we're not always going to do that. We're sinners. But God has given us the opportunity to reconcile through confession and forgiveness when we do sin against one another. And so that's living out our faith through the ministry of reconciliation.
So how do you put this into how do you pack it into training and education for us so that we can take this knowledge of forgiveness? How do you put all this together so that we can learn how to be better at reconciling with one another and practicing this forgiveness on a regular basis?
We begin in God's Word together. And whether we meet with people one-on-one or meet with them in groups or have a conference such as we have coming up in April, we begin in God's Word. And we have a Bible study called Blessed Are the Peacemakers, which people can do in small group or that we can do in a seminar form, that takes us into God's Word to see what He's done for us and then what difference that makes in the way we live together as God's people. And so we explore that together biblically. We call that personal peacemaking, how we live out our faith with one another. But then some people, especially those of us in leadership, in any kind of leadership, have the opportunity to help others in conflict. And so then we have different levels to help equip people to do that work.
Any idea how many people have that you've trained or have gone through this education over the years?
Over the years, I know it's been tens of thousands of people. I've had the privilege of teaching people on six different continents and been translated into several different languages as we've done that. I know there's been tens of thousands, but I don't know what the total number is. But even more than that, those people that have received this training, pastors and teachers and parents and business managers and DCEs, have turned around and they have taught it to others as well. So indirectly, I have no idea how many people have been impacted by that.
So this isn't just specific training that only pastors would use. This is what everybody can use on a daily basis.
Absolutely. First of all, there isn't anybody this side of heaven that doesn't have conflict. So we can all benefit from knowing what the scriptures teach regarding reconciliation. But secondly, any of us in leadership, whether we're a business manager, a DCE, a teacher, a pastor, an elder, if we're a parent or a grandparent, any kind of leadership role, those folks can benefit from getting the further training on how to assist others who are in conflict.
We have a toddler, we have a 16-month-old, and we have absolutely no conflict at home.
Well, I'm sure that your toddler is just a wonderful child, a gift of God, but I suspect that your toddler is also affected by original sin and carries that out in actual sin as well. And there comes the opportunity for reconciliation.
All the time. Lots of hugs.
Yes, absolutely.
Lots of opportunities for hugs in our house. Well, tell us about the response what has this brought about? What has this reconciliation education or training brought about? And some examples or responses you've received from participants, or how has it helped a congregation?
It's helped people at many different levels, and whether it's in personal conflict, business conflict, or church conflict. And what happens when people respond to God's word and what Christ has done for them is it moves them to do things they would otherwise not do. So, for example, in a congregation where we worked, they were currently vacant. Their pastor had left in conflict, but the people wanted to work together under God's word to find out how they could be reconciled. And both the president of the congregation and another person who was a leader in one of their boards had polarized the church. There was a congregational meeting where the woman was complaining about the leadership, and the president stood up and he said to her, "Woman, sit down and shut up. You are demon possessed." And those words polarized the church into two different camps, and they were at war within themselves. We began by teaching the full day Bible study in a seminar format. We then coached individuals, and these two individuals we realized were key people. The woman had no desire to meet with this man whatsoever. In fact, her husband refused to let her do that. But we brought them together in mediation by us being an intermediary to provide a safe environment. And in mediation, that president had come to understand prior to that that he had sinned against this woman in the way that he spoke to her, in the way that he cut her down publicly, in the way that he shamed her before the whole church, and that he was partially responsible for polarizing the whole church. And he came to confess that sin to his wife, which shocked her, or not to his wife, but to this other woman. It shocked her and really shocked the husband, because they came to the mediation ready to defend themselves and to attack him. That brought her to tears, and she in turn then confessed her sin of disrespecting the leaders, of the words that she used, and the two of them came together and embraced one another in a hug as they proclaimed forgiveness to one another. When they did that, they then shared that with the rest of the leaders that they had reconciled, and they confessed to the leaders that they had hurt their church. And then the leaders asked them to do that before the whole church in worship on Sunday morning. And when they did, we teach people how to proclaim God's forgiveness to them, to announce that good news that for Christ's sake, their sins are forgiven. And that began a healing for an entire church body. This church had been in severe conflict for many years, and after that began to live in peace, and people came together to study more about peacemaking so they would reflect the love of Christ.
So that went from, as you said, a congregation that had been in conflict for years to a total turnaround, a congregation that was in peace that's found only in Christ.
That's right. And what was interesting and not unusual is this was a church known in its community and, in fact, throughout the region as being the fighting Lutheran church.
Oh, my.
But years later, after this healing, they became known as the peaceful Lutheran church. And when there was a large influx of people due to some local economic conditions, this church was now ready to receive people and experienced great growth as a church that lives in the peace of Christ.
Well, let's talk about in just a little bit. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk about how the rest of us can get in on this and learn these peacemaking practices, learn from God's word, what you all have to offer as well. So in a conference coming up in the not too distant future. So stick around for more His Time. We're going to continue our conversation with Ted Kober, the president of Ambassadors of Reconciliation, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Messiah Lutheran Church in Danville, California is pleased to be the Church of the Week for Worldwide KFUO. If you reside in or will be visiting the San Francisco Bay Area and are looking for a confessional liturgical Lutheran church, they invite you to join them each Sunday morning. Sunday school begins at 8:30 a.m. and adult Bible class at 8:45. The divine service offering the gifts of Christ meets at 10. You can find additional information at messiahlutheranchurchdanville.com.
Worldwide KFUO would like to invite you to start and end your day with prayer. At 9 a.m., join us for morning prayer as we look into the Word of God, we pray, and sing sacred music. At 6 p.m., we gather for evening prayer once again as we hear the Word of God, pray, and rejoice in His gift of music. Lift up your heart to heaven with Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This Civil Rights Act is a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities and our states, in our homes and in our hearts, to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country.
At the Missouri Bar, we work to foster diversity in our leadership, our profession, and our courts. Join us in celebrating the importance of the Civil Rights Act and its impact on American life 50 years later at MissouriLawyersHelp.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, January 9th. In studio with me this morning, Ted Kober. He's the president of Ambassadors of Reconciliation. Before we went to break, we were talking about one congregation who was in conflict for many years and then learned how to reconcile and to do so in Christ and has since made some changes as a congregation, as has a new reputation as a congregation as well because of those changes, Ted. But something that I didn't ask before is, so is this congregation just, are they totally problem-free? They have no more conflicts from now on?
Of course not. They still have sinners living there. So they still deal with conflict. But the difference is they now respond to it in a very different way. And that's what we teach. It's not that you're not going to have disagreements or disputes among one another. But the scriptures is concerned about how do you then respond to it when you find yourself in the situation.
And so there are some opportunities coming up this spring for the rest of us to learn how to handle this conflict, how to respond faithfully. And so tell us about some of those opportunities. A big conference coming up in April.
Right. And it's starting right after tax day. So it's an easy time to remember. Tax day is April 15th. The conference is April 16th through the 18th. It will be in St. Peter's here in the St. Louis area at Chapel of the Cross. And we've got four plenary speakers. I'll be a speaker. We've got Pastor Bruce Sagel, who for the last several years has been the director of Reconciliation Ministries for the whole Lutheran Church in Australia. We've got Dr. Beverly Yonke coming, who is a member of Doxology and also on faculty at Concordia University in Wisconsin. Concordia University has been using the last several years to develop a culture of peace by training faculty, staff, and student leaders in reconciliation. Another keynote speaker will be Jose Pfaffenzeller. Dr. Pfaffenzeller is a professor at the seminary in Argentina. He just recently translated my book, Confession Forgiveness, into Spanish, and we hope to have it published and ready to distribute at the conference. And he's going to be coming to talk about the Ministry of Reconciliation and the work that's been going on in Argentina since I started doing some teaching down there a number of years ago. Then, in between the plenary speakers, we will have workshops in all different kinds of topics, featuring many of our network of trained reconcilers from not only the United States, but also from Canada and Australia.
Very good. Now, who would attend this this conference?
Any Christian.
Any Christian who's ever encountered conflict, right?
Yes, any Christian, because we all encounter conflict. And through that, if you've received some training in reconciliation, you'll find ways to enhance and build on what you already have. If you've not experienced that before, you can come and learn all about the Ministry of Reconciliation, pick up some resources. And I think one of the best things about this conference is you can network with other people, not only from around the country, but from other countries that are living out the Ministry of Reconciliation in everyday life and learn from one another just as you meet and mingle with people.
What do you want everyone to leave this conference with? What do you anticipate they'll leave this conference with?
Our mission at Ambassadors of Reconciliation is that every Lutheran community, church, school, ministry, organization, will eventually have in its midst trained reconcilers that will help people in conflict by teaching them biblical peacemaking, by coaching individuals in conflict when they need help, by bringing people together in mediation and helping them reconcile through confession and forgiveness, and by arbitrating disputes so that instead of taking something to court, people are brought together with a Christian arbitrator who can hear the case and render a godly decision for them. And so our goal is that Lutherans throughout the world will be known for those who cultivate lifestyles of reconciliation.
Hmm. So the conference coming up April 16th through the 18th, you said at Chapel of the Cross here in St. Peter's, Missouri, just right outside St. Louis, correct?
Right.
And April 16th through the 18th, how can we register, find out more, get all those details?
By simply going to our website, which is hisaor.org, hisaor.org. And right on the front page there's a logo with the St. Louis Arch on it. All you have to do is click on that, and you'll get information not only for the conference, but then we're going to have several pre-conference training events as well.
Well, tell us about some of those, the pre-conference training.
This is where you come for the more intensive training. So we're going to have two sessions of coaching people in conflict. That's a two-day training event. And anybody in leadership, this includes parents, grandparents, ministry leaders, business leaders, can come and learn how do you help someone in conflict by taking them to Scripture, helping them learn how to apply Scripture, and then helping them see how they've contributed to the conflict, and then assuring them of God's forgiveness for them so that they now can go to the other person and be reconciled. So we have two-day events for that. Then if there are those that want to work with bringing people together in mediation, we're going to have mediation training as well. And that's where you bring two disputing parties together and you sit down at the same table at the same time and help them to do that same thing. Then we're going to have an advanced training event for those that have been through our basic training called Coaching Marriages to Reconcile. And that's working in marital conflict and learning to apply both coaching and mediation techniques when you're working with couples that are struggling with conflict.
No marriages don't usually have conflict, do they?
No less than any other relationships do.
As the pastor said at our wedding, today, Andy, you are marrying a sinner. Today, Lauren, you're marrying a sinner. And that's true. We are sinners, and it's a sinner marrying a sinner. And so you by human nature, you're always going to encounter conflict. But the key, as you pointed out earlier, especially in this training, is what you're learning it, is how to respond to this conflict faithfully.
One of the things that we help people understand is the difference between conflict resolution and reconciliation. In conflict resolution, we normally seek to solve the problem or the material issue. And that's what's easiest to get our hands around, whether it's a disagreement over the household budget, or how to handle our teenage daughter when she comes home at 2 o'clock in the morning, things of that nature. And many married people and people in other relationships will do conflict resolution, but not reconciliation. Reconciliation is where we seek to restore the relationship through confession and forgiveness. So here's what can happen that can deteriorate a relationship. I'll use marriage as an example. You have a young couple that fall in love. They do nice things for each other, and they had their little spats, but they've done so much nice for each other that they just simply overlook it. So one day they decide to get married, and they have this wonderful wedding, and everything is blissful, and they're just excited about it. And then they have their first major quarrel. And in this quarrel, angry words are said to one another. And because they have this intimate relationship, they know how to strike a blow. And the blow goes deep. Words that have never been said before. But they come together, they solve the problem, but they don't reconcile. They don't confess, and they don't forgive. Well, they go on in their marriage, and then they have another big disagreement. And this time, they remember some of the harsh words that were said before that had not been dealt with. And there's still some resentment and mistrust left over. But once again, they solve the problem, and they go blissfully along. Well, they continue to do this throughout their relationship until one day they have this disagreement over a small issue, and they have this huge explosion, and they decide to separate. And their friends and family say, "What are you separating over?" And they describe the incident they were arguing about. They say, "Your marriage is failing because of that little thing?" No, it's not that little thing at all. It's that they never learned to reconcile. They only did conflict resolution. And over time, trust eroded, the relationship broke down. What we teach people to do is not just to solve the problem, but how can you do the really hard work of confession and forgiveness, which brings healing to a relationship.
So solving the problem may fix something short term. It may be a temporary solution, but it doesn't really heal the relationship. There are still scars and wounds in that relationship that will continue to persist until there is reconciliation.
That's right. And it can happen within the workplace. It can happen within a congregation. It can happen between parents and children, among adult siblings, and of course, within marriage.
Hmm. And reconciliation, what is at the heart of reconciliation? I think this is where we started this morning. What's at the heart of reconciliation?
What is at the heart of reconciliation is what God did for us mm-hmm. through Christ. Because our most serious conflict of all is our conflict with God. Isaiah 59 says, "Your iniquity has separated you from your God so that he will not hear." And there's a consequence for being separated from God. In Romans 5, we learn that by nature we're enemies of God. Mm-hmm. And the wages of sin is death. So the consequence of being an enemy of God is being eternally separated from him. But God, while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, brought us near to him through the blood of his only son, Jesus Christ, and restored our relationship to him. And as we reflect on that and take that in, mm-hmm. the Spirit then moves us to not only confess our sins to God and receive his forgiveness, but see how we've sinned against our spouse, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we also confess to them, we receive God's forgiveness, whether or not we receive personal forgiveness. But as they return that forgiveness, then we reconcile the relationship. And so it begins first and foremost in our relationship to God.
So this isn't something that you just can do that changes overnight. You know, that the conflict resolution, you might sit down and have a discussion and agree on something or disagree on something, but you walk away from it. But to reconcile, because it's so much deeper in the relationship, it takes time. Certainly, it all comes back to a study of God's word and Christ and his word. But this is something that takes time. It's not just in the blink of an eye, it's over.
Living a lifestyle of reconciliation is a lifetime process. But the more we live in that, the more we practice confession and forgiveness, the more that becomes part of our nature. And the more we learn to deal with conflict in godly ways and build relationships instead of tearing them apart.
Let's revisit the conference coming up in April again, the Cultivating Lifestyles of Reconciliation Conference. You'll have a number of speakers there, including some international speakers, April 16th through the 18th here in...
Right. Just think of tax day, and the next day is Freedom Day when we talk about reconciliation.
After you reconcile your taxes. So right after a tax day, there we have it, April 16th through the 18th here in the St. Louis area. Registration information available on the website, hisaor.org. You can find the registration information there. And for those coming from outside the St. Louis area, is there information on lodging, things like that?
Yes.
Well, very good. So you can go check it out at hisaor.org. We'll provide a link with the archive of today's program, the on-demand post of today's program as well on our website. So folks can go to our website, kfuo.org, and find it later on today on our website as well. Well, Ted, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Anything else about ambassadors as we wrap up our time today?
I would just like to wrap up, not with ambassadors, but with a word from God. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Andy, that's the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen. And a good ministry, and it's one that's so timely that we certainly need. Well, thank you, Ted Kober, president of Ambassadors of Reconciliation, for being our guest today here on His Time.
It's been good being here with you.
Good to talk with you again. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study with Pastor Peter Ledeck from Messiah Lutheran Church in Danville, California. They are the KFUO Church of the Week. Stick around for that as we study Romans chapter 2 today, verses 1 through 16, right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.